In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Becoming merciful like the Father. Dear faithful, it's to be so transformed by receiving God's mercy that we become merciful like God is merciful. Becoming merciful like the Father is the challenge Jesus is given to all of us in today's parable. Today's parable is one of the greatest of all of Jesus' illustrations, not only of this calling, but of the means by which we can fulfill this calling. God's mercy toward us, which is infinite and everlasting, can be forfeited. In the parable, the master who had written of debts revoked it when he saw the one he has forgiven refuse similar mercy to the person who owed him. So, first thing, let's never consider God's mercy as granted. God makes this point throughout sacred scripture. In the book of Sirach, God tells us, "Forgive your neighbor the wrong he has done, and then your sins will be pardoned when you pray. Does anyone harbor anger against another and expect healing from the Lord? If one has no mercy toward another like himself, can he then seek pardon for his own sins?" When Jesus taught us to pray the Our Father, he put 7 petitions on our lips, but only one had a condition attached to it. "Forgive us our trespasses, we pray, as we have forgiven those who have trespassed against us," which means those who have sinned against us. We need already to have forgiven and to have the intention to continue to forgive. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Jesus tells us right after revealing to us the Lord's Prayer. Dear faithful, in today's Gospel, Jesus vigorously made the same point. "So my Heavenly Father will also do to every one of you." Treat us like the first debtor in the parable, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. And none of us should miss the consequence if God revokes or we forfeit his forgiveness. If he does so, we will go to hell. We will go to hell in which there will never be enough time to pay our debts. Because unless God forgives us our sins will prevent us from getting to heaven. This will happen not because God wishes to punish us, but because unless we have a heart that's merciful toward others, we are incapable of receiving God's mercy. Let's make the point with a cardiological metaphor that a heart has a systolic and diastolic actions in which blood is pumped in and pumped out of the earth. If the earth has stopped pumping out the Christ-like precious blood of mercy, it is now dead and cannot receive Christ out in pouring. But there is something else we can say if we fail to forgive others. We will not have to wait until we die to go to hell, because we will already be experiencing a type of hell on earth. The past pains due to the other sins against us, against those we love, will always remain in the present, heavy, dragging us down by their weight. Jesus gives us the command to forgive others, not just so that they might imitate, so that we might imitate his merciful love, and not even so that we won't revoke it by our failure to be merciful to others, but so that we might experience the liberation and joy mercy brings the giver. We cannot let the past, we cannot let others determine our future and ruin our present. So let's not be wrong. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting. It's normal for memories to be triggered in the future. That doesn't mean that we did not forgive. But when thoughts of past hurts occur, it's what we do with them that counts. We can be stuck in the past, or when we find ourselves focusing on the past offense, we can learn to say, "Thank you, God, for this reminder of how important forgiveness is." When we apologize, we recognize our error and turn around. When we forgive, we return to a state of love, which doesn't mean that we have to be best friends with those who offended us. Framed positively, this lesson that Jesus is teaching us in this parable is that we need to pay his mercy forward. We have been rich, we have been made rich in mercy by God's generosity, and we are called to share it. It's like God has made us billionaires, and he wants liberally to share that gift with those who owe us because of the depths of their sins toward us. In forgiving in this way, Jesus was indicating to us how to fulfill his command to love others as I have loved you. And his love for us is always merciful. Therefore, our love for others must likewise always be clement, benevolent. As he was dying to pay the debts for our sins, after his back had been shredded as a flagellation, after his head had been crowned with thorns and the Roman soldiers were about to hammer his arms to the wood of the cross, Jesus cried out not in pain, but in mercy. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Them and the they, he was referring to, were not just the Roman soldiers who clearly know how to crucify someone, but to all of us who, when we sin, really do not have a clue about how they crucify and kill our Savior. There is a similar consequential ignorance when we sin against others and others sin against us. So today Jesus is asking us to make his word our own, to make his love our own, to make his mercy our own, by our receiving it from him in the sacrament of mercy and by our sharing that forgiveness lavishly with others. He who is mercy incarnate has made us rich in mercy like his Father. And the place where we get strengthened to do is here at Mass. In today's reading, St. Paul tells us to draw your strength from the Lord and from his mighty power. And this is a place that we come to draw all our spiritual energies from the power of his merciful flowing from his pure side. At Mass, dear faithful, this is where we are strengthened with the armor of God to stand firm against the snares, the tactics of the devil on the evil day. At Mass, this is where we put on Christ and his merciful love, where we wrap ourselves with the truth about him, ourselves, and our need for him, where we are clothed in his holiness around our hearts, where we put on the shoes of the gospel of peace through the forgiveness of sins. At Mass, where we grow in faith and say, Jesus, I trust in you and in his divine mercy, whether the devil shoots flaming arrows of temptations. At Mass, this is where we wrap our head with the helmet of salvation so that our minds are thinking about eternity, eternity, and where we are assimilate the word of God as a weapon to use against the devil, just as Jesus used it in the desert. The faithful, this is where we begin by confessing that we are in need of God's help and protection because we are sinners who have lost in battles against the devil by our own grievous faults, but are nevertheless strengthened by God so that we might win the war. That's the most important. That is essential. But to do so, we have to think big. We have to think about our eternity. And Mass introduces us to eternity. At Mass, this is where we proclaim that we are not worthy to receive him, but we ask him to say the word and forgive our debts so that he may enter under our roof. and with Jesus inside us, with mercy incarnate, abiding in us, how can we not forgive others like He forgives us? Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.